My day was going great and my soul was at ease until a group of brothers started bugging out, drinking the 40 ounce, going to frown, disrespecting my black queen, holding their crosses and being obscene. At first I ignored them, cause see I know the type. They got drunk, they got guns, and yes they wanna fight. And they see a young couple having a time that's good. And the Eagles wanna test the brother's manhood. So they came to test me cause of my heritage and the loud bright colors that I wear. I was a target cause I'm a fashion misfit. And the outfit that I'm wearing, brothers dissing it. While I stay calm and pray the leave me be. But they sweep the parts of my date's anatomy. Why Lord, the brothers have to drill me. Cause if I stop and hit the man, they'll have to kill me. Take the brother out for being rude. Hey! And like I said before, I was mad by him. It took three or four cops to pull me off of him. But that's the story, y'all, of a black man. Black man. Like a nigga get stomped by an African.
Music is like poetry and has a message, and history like a diamond shines clear to the truth. You see, words have meanings that we can comprehend, like definitions, and news can show us a chain of events that we may not always understand. Now, I'm asking each and every one of our Quest listeners in the listening ship audience to now pull back our musical curtain to see and hear the contributions of our diaspora. And you're sure to find our Quest moment where we attempt to make waves, indeed, vibrations. So thank you once again for joining us to hear a different perspective of our community. Welcome to another edition of Quest Youth Radio, which is the best youth radio. Presented by student hosts Justin Hill and Brielle Claire. Their featured segments will include history and definitions that reflect the African-American diaspora. And so I'd like to say to our student hosts and our panelists, right, that Mr. Harris will be unable to attend with us today because he is feeling sick. He probably has the flew. So, you know, under his advisement of his doctor, right, he's been told to sit back and take care of himself. And his doctor is none other than Dr. Richard Bombay, PhD of musicology, right? Tanisha, good morning.
Good morning, everybody.
All right. Ms. Gardner, you just had a birthday on Friday, so I want to start out by saying happy birthday, happy belated birthday to you.
Thank you.
All right. Our student host, Justin Hill, good morning.
Good morning, everybody, and happy belated birthday, Ms. Gardner.
And Brielle, I'm sorry. Brielle, are you there? Good morning.
Good morning, everybody, and happy belated birthday, Ms. Gardner.
Oh, thank you. I also feel special. Thank you.
Yeah, well, you are special. You're part of the team. We're going to start out. Justin, I'm going to ask you, request from you to do the first segment on Alexander Crummell. And the reason why is because I want to talk about Alexander Crummell before you start your segment, okay?
Okay.
All right. Now, this is what I need everyone to understand. Alexander Crummell was someone who we need to do a critical analysis of. Now, to critically think. So when you read the lines, you have to learn how to read in between the lines so that you can understand what he was about and what he basically pioneered, or what his leadership actually represented. You see, a critical analysis is when you look at information and you analyze, you scrutinize, you observe, you look at the information and you say, well, wow, this is what I think about this person. Alexander Crummell, you know, before he was able to be ordained as a minister, he was turned down in New York only because of the color of his skin. So he was told, no, we don't ordain black ministers here. And so he traveled up to Boston where he was able to be ordained. Now, later on in his life, in history, as an ordained minister, he practiced the Christian religion of, he was an Episcopalian, and he believed in colonism, right? Now, to colonize a people, you know, you might be familiar with the 13 colonies here in America, but to colonize people in other countries was a different story. But if you think about it, it was almost the same, because the 13 colonies had to rise up and they fought back against the British to end the colonialism that existed here in America before we became the United States of America. Now, I know that's a lot to unpack, you know, and leave at your doorstep, Justin. But here's my point. Alexander Crummell adapted a European or white supremacy way of thinking through a religion, and he tried to indoctrinate, or he tried to get the Africans, when he visited Africa, right, he tried to get them to believe that being colonized was a good thing. And we know today that being colonized, right, in fact, we even call them the colonizers, right, is not a good thing, right? Now, I rattled on, Tanisha, Ms. Gardner, I need you to help me here, right? And because I want Justin to understand who Alexander Crummell was. Now, I'm not saying that he was a bad person, but what I am saying is his philosophy and his way of thinking, right, is something that we would not want to perpetuate. We wouldn't want black people to adapt the ways of white supremacy. That, you know, that's the best I can do. Ms. Gardner, please come in and help me out here. Alexander Crummell.
So Alexander, it's so funny because it also talks about, like you just mentioned, that he was ordained as an Episcopal priest in the United States. And it says that when Crummell went to England in the late 1840s, that's when he raised money for his church by lecturing about American slavery. So I think I guess you would say it's an oxymoron in a way that you're lecturing about American slavery, but then on the flip side, you're teaching about colonialism, and I guess it shows you whoever is your master teacher is what you're going to be able to dictate to others. So just the simple fact what he believed in, and it shows where his mind was at, and that the way that he was trying to take his ideologies and place it on other people, and it makes you think as a people that they had the power to have resilience. They was resilient. They knew who they were, and I think that is the point of all this. You have to know who you are, even if the people might look like you. You have to know what you stand for. You have to study. You have to be able to recognize what's wrong and what's right, and use your discernment. Like when we talked about in the last session, when we talked about how do you use your ability to critical think and be able to apply it to your life to be able to protect yourself and your family. So I think that's how we have to look at this. Thank you.
Okay, no, thank you. Because, Justin, I want you to understand that I need to ask you, you know, how would you feel if I said, I want you to be like me, right? And you would say, well, why would I want to be like you when I can be like myself? And I'm saying, and I say to you, because this is the way you should be, right? So now that is a form of indoctrination, almost like brainwashing you to think a certain way and for you to think that it's okay. And that's never okay, because we are human beings and we are able to be ourselves and we're able to think on our own. And that's part of critical analysis and critical thinking, right? Justin, you have to learn how to read in between the lines and not just read the lines. And I got that from Mr. Harris to tell you also. All right. So, Justin, without any further ado, lay it on us, your first diamond segment on Alexander Crummell.
Thank you, Mr. Bay. And history is like a diamond. Each prism represents the work of a group of people at a particular period of time. Look into the diamond and see the reflections of your past self, the pain of your mothers, the choice of your fathers, and the blood of your ancestors. Look deeply and you are bound to find yourself. And Alexander Crummell was an African-American minister, academic, and African nationalities. He went to England to raise money for his church by teaching about American slavery. While in England, Crummell preached about abolitionism in the United States and raised almost $2,000. During his time at Cambridge, Crummell continued to travel around Britain and speak out about slavery and the condition of black people. Also, like Mr. Bay said, he was, before he was a minister, he got rejected because of the color, of his skin. And that is it for my first segment of today of Diamonds.
Okay, so Justin, I have to ask you, you know, but mainly myself and Ms. Gardner, we kind of threw out a whole lot of information, right? on your, laid it upon your doorstep, right? When you think about Alexander Crummell, critically, for him to be an abolitionist was a good thing. But he wanted to be an abolitionist, but he did not want to fight. You know, his fight really was for us to go along, to get along. I kind of want to ask you what you think, and are you able to analyze, or what do you think?
I think during Alexander Crummell's journey, like you said, he was an abolitionist, and he basically wanted everyone to be like together, and that's basically what, like, I'm learning about Alexander Crummell.
Okay. All right.
Mr. Bay.
Yes.
Won't you give him an example? So, because a lot of people probably don't know, is probably listening in, don't know exactly, like, what's an example of why you would say it. Because when you do the research, it gives you an illusion, the opposite of what we're saying. So I think people need an example, particularly of what you're saying, and so we could recognize it.
Okay. So you're asking me to talk about the example that I gave you earlier, if I'm correct.
Yes, so the listening audience to also be aware also.
Okay. So we have a few black Republicans in the United States. And the question is, the things that the Republicans don't necessarily stand for, positive things that affect the black community in America. Basically, they vote against policies that would affect black people in America in a positive way. And not just those issues that affect black people, but affect all Americans in a positive way. Republicans see things through a lens of, I got mine, you got to get yours. You can get yours just like I got mine. And they don't care about the things that have the adversity that people have had to fight through or go through in order to, you know, try to, you know, just pay their monthly bills, for that matter. And so if you have a black Republican in South Carolina, right, who basically stands for, if you listen to him, he's very articulate. He's very smart. And it's not the fact that he's a Republican that I have an issue with. The things that I have an issue with is the fact that he stands against the progress of black Americans in America. And I would compare Alexander Crummell to, and so, you know, he's American, he's black, I'm going to just say it like it is. All black, all skin, just because you're black don't mean you represent the African-American diaspora in a positive way, okay? I'm going to say it one more time. Just because you're black does not make you a representative of the African-American diaspora. And your viewpoint is skewed. It's like in a negative way against African-American black people's progress in America. Tanisha, how's that sound?
Yeah, it just makes me want to do more research because it seems like what you're reading, it gives an opposite of what we're saying.
Okay. All right.
So, it makes me definitely want to do more research to be able to delve into it. So what you're saying is when he went to Africa, he was given a different approach versus when he was teaching in America and when he was talking about slavery?
Well, you know, he was trying to indoctrinate the Africans accept being colonized as a way of life. And it's okay to be colonized here in Africa and adapt those that way of thinking right through religion.
So what is colonization?
Well, when you colonize people, you basically tell them, you give them the rules, okay, of how the government will exist, and that's it. You have to abide by the colony rules, right? So when you ask me to define colonism, I don't have the definition in front of me, but I can tell you that being colonized was not a positive thing, especially when the United States of America had 13 colonies under the British rule. And the whole thing about the Revolutionary War was to end colonialism in America. And you know, I'm afraid that I'm just like talking, you know, way over Justin's head, you know, as far as understanding. Let me just say, being colonized is not a good thing, okay? And indoctrinating people to think a certain way by using religion is not a good thing, right? So all people who might have the pretense of being good don't have the best intentions for black people. All black people who might seem negative, right, but still have the best intentions for their own people. We spent too much time. Justin, I need to ask you, are you even more confused? Yes or no?
A little bit.
Okay.
I was reading. That's why I was doing some research while we was talking. Like you were saying, it was in Liberia, if I'm not mistaken, when he went to Africa, and he was teaching about the European colonizing mindset, and he was, I guess, applying that to, like you were saying, in Africa, and so his perception was tainted because he was teaching that, like you just said, colonialism. Was good. Yeah. Very interesting. Yeah, we definitely have to dig deeper into this.
Right. But we have other information to impart upon the audience, so we're going to have to let this one go for right now. Right, but it's important to understand that all skin ain't kin, and everything that everybody says is not always what it seems to be. Right, so with that being said, I'm going to go to a song by Queen Latifah titled "Unity" because that's what it's all about.
When I'm GY, you gotta let them know. When I GY, that's the one. Here we go. When give you an attitude and you erupt. And take it out on me, but that's about enough. You put your hands on me again, I put your ass in handcuffs. I guess I felt so deep in love, I grew dependency. I was too blind to see just how it was affecting me. All that I knew is you was all the man I had. And I was scared to let you go, even though you treated me bad. But I don't wanna see my kids see me getting beat down by daddy smacking mommy all around. You say I'm nothing without you, but I'm nothing with you. A man don't really love you if he hits you. This is my notice of the duel. I'm not taking it no more. I'm not your personal. That's not what I'm here for. Ain't nothing good gon' come to you till you do right by me. Brother, you wait.
Who you calling me?
Okay, we're back, and that Alexander Crummell, my goodness, we spent a lot of time on that, and of course, we'll have time to examine other people like that, but right now, I want to go to Brielle, and Brielle, I'd like for you to start out with your first segment on Alita Crane, and then go to your definition of advocate, right? Take it away. Good morning again, Brielle.
Good morning, everybody. And I'm here with my first segment for today, which is on diamonds. History is like a diamond. Each prism represents the work of people at a particular period of time. Look into the diamond and see the reflections of your past self, the pain of your mother, the choice of your father, and the blood of your ancestors. Look deeply and you're bound to find yourself. Alita Crane was born September 8, 1913. She went to Harvard University's John F. Kennedy School of Government. She decided to join civil service after earning her master's degree in public administration from the university in Heidelberg, Germany. In the 40s, she became a gym and history teacher for a segregated school. She ended up leaving that school to go to a better job in Colorado, which turned out to be cleaning toilets. She became inspired when she saw posters up for women to join the military. Crane was one of the three black women out of 300 to enter officer training after signing up, although they weren't allowed to be in the barracks. She was one of the first African-American women to join the Army in World War II. They asked her to stay for desegregation, stating that she gets along with the troops. She was promoted to become a captain a couple months later in May. Many years later, she retired from active duty, and in 2007, November 7th, she unfortunately died. And I am now moving on to my definitions of advocate. This segment provides the listener with words and their meaning, so that we can achieve together a common basis to say we care and believe in ourselves. Remember, whosoever controls our definitions controls us. We must define existence and not have it defined for us. Advocate, a person who publicly supports or recommends a particular cause or policy. And for an example, she was an advocate of the military in the 50s. And the word originates from the Latin verb advocares, which means to call. And where I got all this information from was Wikipedia. Again, you are listening to Brielle, and that is it for my segment on diamonds and definitions.
Okay, now Brielle, I have to ask you, as you read the lines, were you able to read in between the lines? And can you now provide us a critical analysis to where you have a clear understanding of Olita and Olita Crane and her being advocate and what she had to overcome in her life? Can you?
Well, the I can try.
Yeah.
So, okay. So, basically, what she had to overcome, like a challenge in her life was finding a good job, especially being Black and also a woman, to find a good job with enough money. And it took her a while, but once she was able to, once she saw those posters, she trained really hard to get that job, and she was able to make it in. And I'll explain advocate again: a person who publicly supports or recommends a particular cause or policy. So she was an advocate of the military in the 50s, and that's basically all.
Okay, so she was an advocate for change. And so she, and you know, the interesting thing about that story, when you talk about her getting a job, and we have to believe that she was more qualified than to end up in a job where she had to become a custodian, no damp words, no throwing no shade on being a custodian, but for her to just end up with a job of cleaning toilets, right? But then for her to join, seeing an opportunity by joining the military, right? And the other part was once she joined the military, she was not allowed to sleep in the barracks with other white women who were working in the service as well. Okay. And so she had to persevere. She had to overcome adversity in order to become an advocate, you know, for Black people or Black women in the military. And so, you know, that takes a lot of strength and courage to overcome, you know, the onslaught of racism that existed even in the military. You know, now here's the parallel. You know, Alexander Plummel, to become an ordained minister, he was denied because he was Black. She was in the military and was denied the opportunity to even sleep in the barracks, you know, because of the segregated laws that existed here in America. And even, you know, so you volunteer to work in the Army in the service, and you're, you know, to sacrifice your life, and you're still being segregated against because of the color of your skin. Tanisha Gardner, what do you think? Comment?
Yeah, definitely. And she was very instrumental, not even for African-American women, but also for all women, because it was also discriminating within itself. So, but I think that was the power, because I had an opportunity to listen to a snippet of her documentary and when she was speaking, right? And she was saying that at that time that they used strategies. And she was more than an advocate. She was actually an organizer. You know, organizer is someone, who, you know, who comes in and be able to put things into its place and help people to see the vision clearly. So one of the things that she mentioned in the documentary was that when it came to the white women, they allowed the white women to go to the Pentagon, but the Black women, you know, stayed behind. And so what they did, she said, they actually worked together. So I guess that would be definitely a form of discrimination. And so what they did was they formed a group, an integrated group with black women and white women, and they came together and they actually went against the establishment by hiring lawyers. So what they did was, I guess, kind of like COINTELPRO, situation or whatever, and they seen it. And so what they did was they actually, like, they allowed them to go in, and then when they brought back the information, they end up getting a lawyer, and that's how they end up organizing and winning some of the cases that they have. So I thought that was pretty cool.
All right. So now you have to remember we got Brielle and Justin on the line, okay? And so they have an experience they don't know a lot of information. So when you say COINTELPRO, they don't know what that means, but I'm going to explain it. That basically means we live in one country. Justin and Brielle, this is what I want you to understand. COINTELPRO said it was a study made. And it said that we live in America, which is a melting pot, one country. But in America, there are two separate rules. There are rules for black people, and there are rules for white people. And when I tell you that, that study brought out the disparities that exist for black people that don't exist for white people. And what that means is, just like Alita was not allowed to sleep in a white barracks, it's just like not being allowed to drink on a white, go to an all-white bathroom. It's just like not being able to drink at white's only water fountain. Being allowed to go to a white-only hotel, okay? Now, we supposedly live in different times, and these things have existed within the last 50 to 75 years, okay? One of the things that I thought about was the fact that I was alive when Martin Luther King was assassinated, murdered, right? And I understood that as a child because it was impossible for me not to understand because our parents and uncles and aunts went to the funeral, of Martin Luther King. And so we understood the struggle that Martin Luther King stood for. Okay, so I've kind of gone off track, right? So I'm going to go a song by Prince. Right? Because the sign of the times, which is the title of the song, sometimes things, even though time changes, some things do stay the same. But it's important for our young people, Justin, Brielle, to understand the past so we don't repeat it.
Baby, 'cause she couldn't afford to feed, and it was sending people to the moon. Zip. September, my cousin tried reefer for the very first time. Now he's doing hard. It's June.
Bring it on back, and we're going to hand it over to our student host, the real deal, Justin Hill. Justin, give us a diamond and a definition and take it away.
Okay. His sleeve is like a diamond. Each prism represents the work of a group of people in a particular period of time. Look into the diamond and see the reflections of your past self, the pain of your mother, the choice of your father, and the blood of your ancestors. Look deeply and you are bound to find yourself. And my diamond segment is on A. Philip Randolph. And A. Philip Randolph brought the gospel of trade unionism to millions of African-American households. After graduation, Randolph worked odd jobs and dedicated his time to singing, acting, and reading. Randolph joined the Socialist Party in June 1925. A group of Pullman porters, the all-black service staff of the Pullman sleeping cars, approached Randolph and asked him to lead the new organization. Randolph moved to New York to become an actor, but he gave up after failing to win his parents' approval. And that is it for my definition segment. And now my definition segment is on leadership. Leadership is the ability of an individual to have followers and the leader guides them. Also, a leader possesses self-confidence, strong communication, and management skills. But most leaders don't have that. They just want to be the boss of people, and they take advantage of the followers. Like, an example of that is the leader makes the followers do the work for them, like getting them drinks or food. And that is not a leader. In order to be a good leader, you have to stand up for you and your followers, and you have to stand up for what you believe in. And that is it for my diamonds and definition segment on A. Philip Randolph and leadership. And I thank you guys for listening.
Okay. You know what, Justin? You just made it. The understanding of Alexander Crummell, you made it easy, and you just simplified it without even realizing it. Alexander Crummell was a leader, a religious leader, who did not have the best interests of his followers. Do you understand that? Justin?
I'm sorry, could you say that one more time?
Yeah, Alexander Crummell was a leader who did not have the best interests of his followers. Do you understand that?
Yes.
And what made him a leader, he was a religious leader. But he didn't, he at the end of the day, he did not have the best interest of black people, okay? He represented basically a white ideology, right? A white supremacist, right? Anyway, we're going to continue on and ask Brielle to come on and share with us another diamond and definition.
Welcome back, everybody, and I'm here with my next diamond on Jane Cook Wright. After receiving her medical degree, Jane Cook Wright worked at Research Foundation in Harlem back in 1948. They researched about chemotherapy that led to patients with leukemia and lymphoma. Later in 1952, Dr. Wright became the lead of Research Foundation at the age of 33. She used different techniques to test the drug effects on cancer cells by using patient tissues to work on instead of lab mice. She moved on to work at New York City Medical Center. Her research and techniques helped change chemotherapy for better treatment. In 1985, she retired after talking about her pioneering research in chemotherapy. She sadly died in 2013 in February 19th. And I'm going to move on to my definition segment, which is on pioneer. This segment provides the listener with words and their meanings so that we can achieve together a common basis to say we care and believe in ourselves. Remember, whosoever controls us controls our definitions. We must define existence and not have it defined for us. And the definition of pioneer is a person or group that originates or helps open up a new line of thought or activity or a new method or technical development. And for an example, she came up with new methods, which was human tissues instead of lab mice, and spoke about pioneering for chemotherapy. And this, the word pioneer originated from a soldier or soldier involved in something. And again, this is Brielle, and that is it for my diamond segment and my definition.
Okay. So can you guess what Mr. Bay wants to ask you now, Brielle?
Why did I choose this segment? Yes. Okay.
Oh, wow. You guessed right.
So basically, I chose this because it was very important, because she made changes to the chemotherapy with better ways into helping patients with cancer. And instead of using lab mice, she was able to use human tissues, which was a better method. And that's why I chose her.
Okay. All right. Justin, we want to hand it back over to you for, I believe you have one segment left, and that's definitions. Take it away.
This segment provides the listener with words and the meanings so that we can achieve together a common basis to say we care and we believe in ourselves. Remember, whosoever controls our definition controls us. We must define existence and not have defined for us. And my definition segment is on superficial. And superficial is lying on, not penetrating below or affecting only the surface. And another meaning is appearing to be true or real until looked at closely. And that is it for all of my segments for today. And that is it. And I thank God for listening.
Okay. Ms. Gardner, I'm coming to you. All right. So now, So Brielle, Ms. Gardner, I'm not going to tell your age, but I'm going to date you a little bit here, right? Brielle, Justin, Ms. Gardner was on the radio team and actually sat where you sit now, where she had to do the research, okay, like you're doing now. And so she had to deal with the challenges, right? and she had the opportunity to work with your glorious, wonderful Mr. Bay, who's a little bit crazy, right? And I'm only joking, right? Ms. Gardner, please, to the best of your ability, express the challenge of working with me and learning at the same time.
Yeah, when you're young, it's always a challenge because you're learning. You're learning yourself. You're learning how to understand what is happening. But when I realize it now, it actually prepares me for all the work that I do, you know, going forward. Because it's like, one, how do you understand the information that you're reading, and how do you articulate it to someone else for them to understand and really be able to analyze it to see the truth and to also see the non-truths in it? And how do you prove what is a truth and what is a non-truth? So when we study in our history, the way that you know it's the truth is by the laws that has been presented to us. Or like, for instance, the redlining. Redlining was real because they actually created policies. So that's how you know that was a fact, right? And then also from the documentaries or the footage or the photos, so that gives you proof of what you have seen, right? And so what you do is, you take from that and you apply it to your life right now, even though y'all in grammar school, but you also have your own difficulties. So how do you critical think when they're giving you information in class? And so this is preparing you to be able to dissect and not take what people tell you, but for you to use your mind and to be able to understand and decipher what you're hearing and what you're seeing and applying it to your life so you could do better and be better. Thank you.
All right. No, thank you. Justin Brielle, did you hear that?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. So, you know, I want you guys to understand, it's something that Ms. Gardner mentioned. She talked about laws. Do you guys realize, and I'm asking Director Brielle and Justin, at one point in American history, it was legal. It was the law. It was legally okay to have slavery, to have slaves. Do you understand that?
Yes.
Yes.
So sometimes laws are not right. And so in order to change that law, people like Martin Luther King, people like A. Philip Randolph, people like Aletha Crane had to advocate, had to persevere. They had to fight, and it was a struggle to overcome laws that perpetrated wrongdoing on Black Americans. And the fight still continues, because this is what I want you to understand. I said it before, I say it again. When you do not know the history, you are destined to repeat it. And so that's why I am so animate, okay, about you guys understanding and learning the history of African Americans from the past, so that we in your future, and maybe when you guys grow up and have families, so you can detect nonsense when you see it, because you're able to critically analyze, right? You're able to look at things and not just read the lines, but read in between the lines, right? And so in your own words, starting with Brielle, talk to us about today's show and kind of sum it up. Give me a behind the mic and include Ms. Gardner, any comments that I made, and anything that your thoughts about today's show, starting with Brielle and then Justin, and then we'll close out the show. Take it away. Brielle, give us a summation, a behind the mic, if you would.
Okay, so
basically for I'm just going to do a little review of what I've done in earlier. And first up, I had Aleta Crane. And Aleta Crane was basically somebody who got to, she was one of the three black people out of 300 to be in the military. And my definition for her was advocate. And that basically means, I'll say it again. So that basically means to a person who publicly supports or recommends a particular cause or policy. And she was advocate in the military. And my next person was Jane Cook. And Jane Cook Wright, she was somebody who used human tissues instead of lab mice to work and to help cure cancer. And the definition I had for her was pioneer. And it was a person or group that originates or helps open up a new line of thought or activity, or a new method of technical development. So for an example, she came up with a new method, which was human tissues instead of lab mice, and spoke about pioneering for chemotherapy. And some comments that were made were like, about like, for, like Mr. Bay said, there were laws, and not all the laws were right, because they had a law that like black people couldn't drink out of the same water fountain or go to the same bathroom or even work in the same space as white people. And that is it for summing up.
Justin?
Today, my first segment was on Alexander Crummell, and he was a minister, but he went around the world trying to raise money for his church. And also before he became a minister, while he was trying to become a minister, he was like rejected because of the color of his skin. My next segment was on A. Philip Randolph, and he was basically a leader in his life. And my definition segment connects with A. Philip Randolph leadership, because A. Philip Randolph, he was a leader, like I said, and a leader is someone who has followers, and they like stand up for what they believe in, and they kind of show the followers how to become a leader, so the followers one day could become a leader. And my last segment of today was on superficial, and again, that is affecting only the surface, and it is also appearing to be true or real until looked at closely. And a comment that was made was Ms. Garner talking about colonialism. And Mr. Bay, he said that in the past, slavery was legal, and there's still slavery happening someplace. And that is basically it, what happened in today's show.
All right. Thank you. Ms. Gardner, final words, and make them quick. And then, Justin, we're going to let you close us out.
Know thyself. Thank you.
Okay. Know yourself. Learn yourself. No better words have been spoken. That's the hardest thing you can ever do. Justin, close us out. Brielle, Justin, great job. I want to thank all our listeners. And Justin, please close us out now.
I want to thank everyone for joining us on Blog Talk Radio. And make sure you check out our next show on 89.5 FM. Next on Saturday, we are live from 7 to 8 a.m. And Quest Youth Radio is the best youth
Everybody,
radio.
The best, yes. Youth,
the best
radio.
Youth radio.
All right. Thank you to the listenership.